Miami Melodon Fever!
What's up, Yankees fans? What is going on? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Empire 161 Show. Happy late Monday afternoon. So we'll be kicking off the week for a Pop Culture Pros. Yes, I got it. It kicks in like that. It gets kind of loud. Our music this afternoon is Aroldis Chapman, part of Aroldis Chapman's walkout music. So the first part is Rage Against the Machine. This is the one that plays the entirety. If you've been to the stadium, check it out. Hopefully everyone watching the show has had an excellent week. When the Yanks go 6-0, it's a fantastic week for us. And we got a pretty crazy week coming up. So, with me as always is Lisa. Lisa, what's up?
Hey, everybody. We're very excited that we got to squeeze in a show right before a game. We usually show up for you all on Sundays, but scheduling conflict, so we had to do today. This is just a teaser for tonight's game, so I actually prefer it this way. You get to hang out with us and then go watch the Yankees hopefully win another series. So we're really excited to talk about the last week. As Ed said, it was pretty awesome. So we have a lot of positive things to talk about as Yankee fans. Of course, I am over the moon because we're going to talk so much about Giancarlo Stanton today. And y'all know how I feel about him. So all I have to say is best birthday ever because of him. The only thing that could have made it better was if I actually met him on my birthday. So we have next year.
That would have been impressive. That would have been pretty impressive if we could have made that happen.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us tonight. We're super excited. And yeah, like Lisa said, we're the pregame show because we're even on before the Yes batting practice show. So we'll take you into that. We're not going to waste any time tonight, and we're going to jump right into the week that was for the Yanks. So the Yanks went ahead and were 6-0 this week, starting last Monday against the lowly Texas Rangers. But, hey, you got to play who's in front of you, and the Yanks took care of business. On Monday, the Yanks edged the Rangers 4-3, maybe a little closer than we would have wanted. But nasty Nestor Cortez went 4 1/3, giving up 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Chad Green rebounding this week with an excellent week with his first outing, picking up the win to push his record to 8-7 at the time with a strikeout. And the rejuvenated Aroldis Chapman picked up his 28th save of the season, picking up 2 strikeouts in the ninth inning. But Gary Sanchez, 1-3, 22nd homer of the year. Another, a lot of people being revitalized all of a sudden. Gleyber Torres, 2-3 with an RBI. Gleyber's really been swinging a hot bat since getting moved back to second base. Seems much, much more comfortable in that role. And Aaron Judge was 2-3 with an RBI and a run scored. Lisa, you got anything extra to add on this one? Because this was one that was, it was a little too close for comfort. You're kind of like, all right, maybe they want to smack around the Rangers, but they held that off for at least another night?
Yeah, the only thing I want to say is you were mentioning some people are kind of, getting their swing back at the right time. And I don't remember what game it was in. It was one of the games this week. They were talking about Gleyber Torres and how Aaron Boone was asked, how do you think he feels? And he said, well, when we told him that we were going to move him to second base, you could immediately see the weight being lifted off his shoulders and the smile that came on his face. And it's like, this is exactly what he needed. So I'm really glad that he's responding well to the change. I don't know if it changed, but I think I already had like 44 errors as the shortstop this year or somewhere around there. And it was one of the most in the major league. So he clearly was feeling a lot of pressure in that role to be able to move over to second and continue to be good, defensively and be able to make plays a little bit more confidently. Clearly, that's going to make him be a little bit looser when he's up at bat, too, because it's very hard to be really good offensively and then really bad defensively and not have one affect the other. So some people could do that. It takes a lot of talent and like mental strength, I think, to do that. So I'm really happy that he's able to balance the two out in a way that's really helpful for the Yankees, especially right now.
Yeah, he has totally looked like a completely different player since the reshuffling of the infield about a week or so ago. Yeah, and I mean, again, we played on a much lower level with recreational softball, but I mean, you could identify with the simple fact that, I mean, if you're struggling in the field or if you make an error or a mistake in the field and you're pissed off about it, you know, then you're up the next inning, especially through that at bat, you're most likely thinking about what happened in the field. Last. So, I mean, you can't, it's human nature. You can't help it. But yeah, to be able to block it out and to move on, you can do it sometimes. But when it's going on for an entire season plus now with him playing shortstop, you can kind of understand it. But it was a move I think a lot of people wanted to see happen earlier, but didn't. But I guess better late than never. Because now it's like we're starting to get the Glaber back that we all know and love.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say something that's going to surprise you right now, too. I'm going to quote somebody on Sunday Night Baseball.
Oh, boy.
This is going to hurt me to say, but it's true. This person said, I'll paraphrase because I don't remember the exact quote, that the Yankees had all of the right actors. They just had them in the wrong roles.
And he was right. I recall that quote, too, from whatever. Just say it. It's fine. I mean... A-Rod did say it. Listen, we can say a lot of things about the guy, and we could have an entire show probably about just, like, ripping on the guy. But the guy doesn't – he knows his mind. He does have a mind for baseball.
No, he
knows what he's talking about, even though he made that, you know, like, asinine comment about the Yanks not, like, getting Joey Gallo before the trade deadline happened, and then that happened, and ironically takes his number after that comment had happened. But – no, he was correct. And the reshuffling the infield has been one of the keys to what has got the Yankees back on track. I mean, the roller coaster continues. We're on the high now. We're hoping to stay on the high, you know, for the rest of 2021. And we shall see. But the high, that the latest high we're talking about, though, continued on to Tuesday night, where the Yanks went ahead and beat the piss out of the Rangers, which is what you expect most of the series to be, 7-1. Jordan Montgomery picked up his sixth win of the season, going 5 2/3, giving up 4 hits, an earned run, 1 walk, and 6 Ks, so turned out another one. But the big story pitching-wise of this game was the return of Luis Severino, who'll be working out of the bullpen for the rest of the season. He looked really good, and he was jacked up, and I was at the game with our teammate Joe, and the crowd responded excellently. He got a standing ovation, and you can see the Sevy chant going like the second the door opened up. It was pretty awesome. I know he had some post-game comments about that, but you know, it really hit him. But he gave up 2 hits in his 2 innings pitched, 2 strikeouts. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 31st homer of the season, and boy, was that a bullet. I mean, just a line drive that ends up in the back of the seats in left field. I mean, that thing got out in a heartbeat. It was bonkers. Aaron Judge was 2-for-4 with his 36th homer of the year, who also hit a bomb, driving in 3. Joey Gallo hit his 38th homer of the season. There was an interesting tidbit about Jordan Montgomery, though, and his start, because as it's been a theme on our show as well as, you know, through the season, the 23rd start allowing 3 runs or fewer this season, and that was tied for the 4th most in the American League. Just... I mean, he's been really, really good. And 6-6, a record like that would indicate that he's kind of been average. Jordan Montgomery's been a bit above average, and that's why I usually win-loss record for a pitcher is not the indicator. I usually like to look at ERA, WHIP, strikeouts per 9 innings, things of that nature, because that tells you what the actual pitcher's doing. Win-loss, I mean, listen, you could go ahead and pitch 9 shutout innings, right? And then if one guy makes an error or something like that, then, you know, you can go ahead and lose 1-0. So that's why I feel like the records, you take that with a grain of salt. You got anything on this one? You want to jump into here?
Was it this game? Yeah, the only thing, I don't remember if it was this game or the one after. Look, folks, it was. I'm just going to name this right now. I told this to Ed before we started.
We had a wild week.
It's not that I had a wild week. I had a very celebratory week, 2 weeks from my birthday. So I didn't actually watch the games live. And if I did, I was out somewhere and couldn't hear the feedback. So I'm a little bit, I do have all my notes for the games, but I don't have my little fun facts like I usually do. So I'm just naming that. I'll get back on track for next time. The one thing I do want to say, though, again, I don't remember if it was this week or not. I think it was this game. When Sebi finished the game, not only, you know, you said the crowd gave him a standing ovation, so did all his teammates. And yeah. I think that was just sweet because you know how much they missed him.
Yeah, no, he's been a huge part of the team, and you got to hope that he's healthy from here on out. Because, I mean, when he went fully healthy, like next season, they're going to be looking at him to be like a front end of the rotation starter. So,
oh, and we need that. Know,
yeah, we definitely need that. I'll say it again. I mean, whatever. I'll say it now, but we'll go through it. Is the Yanks starting pitching for getting as much overall crap as they kind of do at times? They have pitched well this season. The offense has been the one who's, for the case of the entire season, really hasn't held up their end of the bargain. But I mean, lately they're playing complete team, and that's why you get a 6-0 week when you're firing in all cylinders. It's really hard to just do it with one half. But starting pitching's been a lot better than advertised. But I agree though, Lisa, it is something for next season and moving forward. You can't bank on it to happen every single year like this. Like, right. Getting steady would be a huge boost.
Right. I think it's hard for folks to see that starting pitching has been fairly good because all we're hearing is, oh, the starting pitcher got hurt. Oh, this starting pitcher's on the COVID IL. Oh, this. But when you think about all the guys that came in to just pitch like a game, or like Nestor Cortes Jr., he's been phenomenal. Nobody expected him to do what he's been doing this year. Like you said earlier, his record doesn't indicate that his win-loss record doesn't really name it as much, but he's held the Yankees in games where they could have been totally dominated on. So I definitely agree with you. And, you know, we just have to make sure that everybody stays healthier next year, more consistent to really see what we can do when we're the total package.
Absolutely. And then the Yanks the next night completed the sweep, which was something that they've had a problem with for a majority of the year. They would win the first two games and say, all right, let's go for the sweep. And then, the shit would hit the fan. But not this time, though. It didn't look great early. I'll tell you that much. But they were down 3-0. And Corey Kluber, didn't exactly have his best stuff that night, going 4 1/3, scattering 8 hits. I'll say scattered because it's not like he got bombed. He struck out 4. But Chad Green picked up the win in relief. To push his record to 9-7, going one inning. Gleyber Torres, though, he had a crazy, crazy night because he was 1-for-3 with an RBI. But the thing with him is he had a huge spot earlier in the game when the Yanks were trying to come back. Bases loaded. 3-pitch horrendous at bat. I mean, I don't understand how you go up there swinging out of your shoes when a dude just went ahead and walked the last two batters. How do you walk the last two guys and then come up there and go for that? And these pitches weren't even close. Got to work the count, get him to give in and give you a good pitch. But he redeemed himself later because he went ahead, gave the Yanks to go ahead run, opposite field, hit to drive in to go ahead run, and also scored the insurance run on I'll call this one more, not the one in Baltimore, but this one was more of a heads up play that he slid just under the tag.
Yeah.
It was very, very close, but he just got in there. So kudos to Gleyber for that. Gary Sanchez didn't start the game because Hickey got the start, but he had his 23rd homer of the year, a bomb that ended up in Monument Park. That was a 2-run homer. That was his only at bat of the game. But Hickey was doing his thing earlier because he is the one who got the Yanks off the mat, 2-for-3 with a 2-run double. And Tyler Wade, who pinch ran for Gio Urshela, had 2 stolen bases right off the bench, which gives him 17 on the year. But, yeah, the catchers, though, overall, right, 3-for-4, 4 RBIs, a home run and a double, they were the offensive story of the night, besides Gleyber obviously getting his big hit. But when you get that kind of production out of the catcher position, that's huge because it really just doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, they both looked really great that night. I'm glad that they both got to contribute in really big ways.
Yeah, so – That kept it rolling. Then they had an off day, which our buddies in Minnesota did us a good favor and beat the Blue Jays to open up that series. No, we sure do love the Twins on on this show because whether we're beating them or whether they're beating the Blue Jays, it kind of works out. Then they got the series kicked off in Fenway. on Friday night, which was Lisa's birthday, and the ultimate birthday gift that the Yanks could have gave her
was
an 8-3 victory over the Boston Red Sox, with Gerrit Cole getting a win, getting his 16th win of the year, to push his record to 16-8, to make continue to make his case for the AL Cy Young Award. He went 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, so not great in the walk department, but 6 Ks nonetheless. The big blow was Giancarlo Stanton, though, going 3-for-5 with his 32nd homer of the year, one of them being, you know, a grand slam. Gleyber Torres was 3-for-5 with his 8th homer of the year. Driving in 2, Brett Gardner chipped in, was 2-for-4. Anthony Rizzo, 2-for-5 with a 2-run scored. And Aaron Judge was 1-for-4 with an RBI and 2-run scored himself. Yeah, this game really set the tone, honestly, for the series. Not just looking back on it, but when you kick off a big series and you make a statement, and they were up 8-0 at one point, you know, that's saying, like, listen, we're not fucking around. Like, we're here to go.
And you know what the best part of that game was?
Go for it.
Besides the grand slam, the best part of that game was the Yankees won, forcing the Red Sox to change that ugly freaking uniform.
The city, yeah, the yellow city connect.
Nobody liked that uniform.
So it's funny because I know there's a lot of people that's ragging on them for that. Don't get me wrong, they're ugly, and I'm not just saying it because it's the Red Sox.
No,
their regular jerseys. Yeah, their regular jerseys are classic. They're clean.
I love their regular jersey, yeah. Actually.
It's fine. But this City Connect thing, I get it. It's an ode to the Boston Marathon, mm-hmm. You know, tragedy that happened. Just maybe you could have went blue jerseys with yellow numbers. That could have been better. I don't know. It's a lot of yellow jersey. Oakland doesn't bother me. Like the Oakland jerseys that are gold and stuff, they don't seem to – I don't think those are ugly. I kind of like those. But something about these City Connect jerseys are just
hideous. They weren't. This wasn't a good look.
And yes, you're right, Lisa, though. The Yankees beat them to end that because they were on a winning streak, and that's why they continued rocking them game after game. And the Yankees put an end to that, and then Saturday we got to see the traditional Red Sox jerseys back in action. But when they did return to their regular jerseys, the result didn't change too much, though. The Yanks won 5-3. It's a pretty stunning comeback, though, because the Yanks were down, and they were looking, you know, pretty done for a little bit. I mean, it was a tight game, but
it was.
You know, they kind of needed that guy to come through again, and he sure did. But to start the game, Nestor Cortes went 4 1/3, giving up 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 Ks. So not exactly his greatest start, but Boone was, you know, going to go to the bullpen because these games are essentially playoff games. He's going to go in first possible. All hands are on deck. You know, let's go. We got to actually make the playoffs before, you know, talking about planning to be what happens in them. Luis Severino, though, was huge. He got his first. He picked up the win in relief. Another 2 innings pitched, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Chapman, again, I mean, he gave up a solo homer in this appearance, but he nailed it down, though, picking up his 29th save of the season. And that guy, though, that we talked about who hit it, you know, he went deep and hit a bomb of a grand slam. 2-for-3, 33rd homer of the year, driving in 4 in the night. So I want the big move, though, that was made in this game, though, that led to this. So Rizzo was going ahead, and he brings Cora goes ahead and brings in a lefty to face Rizzo. Mm-hmm. And didn't think that was the greatest idea because, you know, he hits lefties well. And you kind of knew he has to face the minimum of 3, and you knew he was going to have to face Stanton, who destroys lefties. So you kind of should have saw this one coming in a way. I'm not saying like guaranteed it, but first pitch, gone. I mean, this thing landed it was probably landed across the street at that point. I mean, it was bananas. By the way, that meme from earlier about I think it was baseball or something like that on Facebook. Posted them extending the green monsters and try to stop Stanton.
Yes, I saw that.
That's hilarious. If you follow us on Facebook, check that out. It's a hilarious picture that was there. But boy, that was a friggin' missile that he hit out of Fenway to left field. Another thing I wanted to touch on for the Yankees bullpen, though. So Wandy Peralta, who was it? No, I think it was, I think Jerry was the one who was probably filling in at this time when the Peralta trade happened, when we were on doing the show. We kind of like semi-rolled our eyes at it, like, okay, we're trading him for Mike Tauchman. So Tauchman got, Mike Tauchman got DFA'd since then, right? So he's not even on a major league roster. But then Wandy Peralta has stranded 25 of 29 inherited runners as a Yankee. That's 86% of inherited runners that he makes sure they don't score. The MLB average is 65%. That is completely outstanding. And between that and the punching in the face to get himself hyped up, never going to let that go. That was outstanding. I love it, man. The Magic Wandy is I'm a huge fan of the Magic Wandy. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's come in clutch this year for sure.
Yeah. There was a bad note that we had in this game, though, too. It was just Yanks went ahead and the contact play is something I can't deal with. I hate the contact play with the drawn in infield and runners on less than two outs and a runner on third. Gardner goes ahead. The Yankees just love the contact play. Apparently, it's always on, and it drives me nuts. Just, I'd rather take my chances with Rizzo up and coming up there. But the Yankees have made 22 outs at home this year. That is the most in Major League Baseball. And only the Royals have done it 20 times. So when you're ahead of the Kansas City Royals in a department like that, not good. Guys, you're making the game so much tougher on yourself. Drop the contact play. Like, you're pretty much banking on someone to make an error. And it rarely ever happens. So what's the definition of insanity? They continuously do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And it doesn't happen. So, like, enough of the contact play, please. Please, Boone. There's got to be analytics. This analytics should tell you that it doesn't work. So stop. But on to better things, though, as we'll continue the groove that we're in. Yankees completed the sweep of the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball, 6-3. Jordan Montgomery, again, with another outstanding start. He went five innings, seven scattered, seven hits, giving up an earned run, four Ks. Chad Green picked up another win, his 10th of the year, going an inning and two-thirds, two hits and two Ks. And Aroldis Chapman got his 30th save of the season, going one inning and one strikeout. But the offensive story of that, Giancarlo Stanton, 2-for-4, 34th homer of the year, two RBIs. Aaron Judge, though, he was 1-for-4, but that RBI double was huge. And the whole thing behind that, we'll touch on that in a second. T.J. LeMay, he was 2-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored. So the go-ahead, by the way, the inning before that happened, before the Yanks came back, I think it was the seventh inning, a dropped pop-up by LeMahieu that could have ended the inning. Inexplicable. I mean, I had no idea what was going on there. It wasn't like the lights got in his eyes. It just happened. And then the same at bat, Joey Gallo drops one in left field that allows the go-ahead run to score. Mm-hmm. Both excellent defenders, and it just happened. That's it. Two huge mistakes that could have cost the Yanks the game. And in previous games this year, you kind of was like, all right, you know, we've seen this before. Let's see how this changes now. But it totally did change. Ryan Dalback tries to get a pop-up going towards the first base dugout, doesn't know where he is, and goes ahead and lets it go. That drops in, ends up leading to a hit. And then the third drop strike by Christian Vasquez, who they called it, like Joe West called it, that it was just a drop third strike. But I'm going to be honest, it did look like it was on a transfer.
It 100% looked like on a transfer.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting that I know A-Rod and Bastergeon were talking about how it's not a reviewable play. But ESPN did cut to Cora, check in with his replay guy.
He did.
And he was like, go on. Essentially, like, I don't know if the replay guy told him it's not challengeable, or if the replay guy told him don't challenge it. It was kind of weird.
Well, whoever the replay guy is, he might not have a job anymore. if it turns out
it was actually challengeable, yeah, it was clearly was. But the next pitch led to extended the at-bat. Judge gets the double to left center field. Unfortunately, jammed his pinky sliding into second base, which had to come out and pop it back into place. But it looked weird. But it also looked like it was a freak accident. It was like nothing that could have been done. They popped it back into place. And there was no way Judge was coming out of that game.
No, he was so hyped.
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome. Then, you know, next batter, Stanton, two-run homer that may or may not have been further than the home run on Saturday night. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
so here's the thing. I mean, like, obviously, you know, like, I have a mad crush on this man, but the way he swings the bat so effortlessly is insane, because it's like, where are the legs and the hips in your swing? It doesn't look like you use them at all. Yet no. You are hitting bombs that go out of Fenway Park. He hit both of them. They probably landed right next to each other.
Probably. So someone's windshield or something.
I mean, because he hit them both right in the same area over the stadium. It was bonkers how crazy that was. And he's just like, yeah, I hit a home run.
but with the home run on Sunday, though, we did get the epic bat flip and bat throw there, which is everywhere. I mean, CC posting one on Facebook that I thought was great. That was a black and white and had the parental advisory sticker on the bottom. Great. It was also the name of him throwing. They turned into a broom for the sweep. That was great as well. I mean, it was fantastic.
It really was.
But fun fact from our buddy Katie Sharp, who we love on Twitter, Stanton is the first Yankee with a two-out go-ahead grand slam in the eighth inning or later on the road since Dave Winfield back on June 29th wow. of 1987 versus the Blue Jays, which is Ooh. Ironic that that's happened because, you know, we got a big series kicking off tonight with the Blue Jays. And there was a couple of other numbers I wanted to. So Stanton also was the first Yankee with 3+ home runs and 10+ RBIs in a three-game span versus the Red Sox since Mickey Mantle back in 1954. When you're doing something that hasn't been done since the Mick, you're in good shape. And the Yankees with at least 3 home runs and 10 RBIs in any three-game span versus the Red Sox. Stanton this year, as we mentioned, the Mick in 1954, Lou Gehrig in 1931, and Babe Ruth in 1927. That is a list of Yankee power hitters that you absolutely want to be on. And Stanton with the Yankees at Fenway Park is a career 395 hitter with a 451 on base percentage, 691 solo slugging percentage, which gives you an OPS of 1142 in 91 plate appearances, 7 doubles, a triple, 5 home runs, and 21 RBIs. That's the best OPS by any Yankee all time at Fenway Park with a minimum of 50 plate appearances. And again, think about that rivalry. Think about the history of both teams. And if you're the best to ever do that at all of it, you're doing something pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He and Judge have been so much fun to watch this year. You know, this is the one of the healthiest years that both of them have both had. They've both been plagued by injuries over the years. I am so excited for both of them. I just hope that, you know, it doesn't stop here. We have 6 games left before we go to the playoffs. I hope it carries on for the rest of this season. And they can figure out a way to stay healthy for next year, too, because it has been so much fun to watch the two of them just completely destroy the ball, crush the ball. Manifest little league games and knock it out the park, which is
maybe
like
that's what it is. Maybe the T-Mobile commercial was right. Maybe that's what happened. That
was great. Yeah, but I'm really enjoying them. I want to say this, though. So while I could talk about Giancarlo Stanton all day long, I do want to share a tweet from Talking Yanks on Twitter about another Yankee, Brett Gardner, my buddy Gardy Party. So the tweet says that he has had a 367 on base percentage and an 805 OPS in his last 57 games dating back to July 18th. And he's also had a 5-game hitting streak with a double in 3 of those games. And you know, this may or may not be Brett Gardner's last year as a Yankee, right? I certainly don't know what's in the future for him. And I just know how valuable a player, a veteran, how consistent he's been over the years in his career as a Yankee. And you know, he did not come into this year expecting to be the starting center fielder for sure. Although we could have guessed that Aaron Hicks was going to get hurt again because he's Mr. Glass on the team. I'm so happy that he got to play the majority of the season in front of crowds. I know that last year was probably, it was tough for everybody, but for him, knowing that he's coming to the tail end of his career, not being able to play in front of the crowd was probably really, really hard on him. So I'm just excited that he's been doing well, and that he will hopefully get another chance to go into the playoffs and hopefully get a ring again, because Guardy's just been, you know, a stalwart on the team, and I love him for that. So wanted to shout out my boy Guardy.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll admit, I'm sure the receipts are here. I've said it on this show before, too. I was one who was not in favor of bringing Brett Gardner back, but you're right. Can't really count on Hicks to stay healthy for an entire season, even though Brian Cashman loves him. I wonder if he's like a son-in-law or something like that of his, because he really loves him, some Aaron Hicks. But all jokes aside, though, I see the potential that Aaron Hicks has. I mean, yeah. But he can't stay in a field. And when he's on the field, he hasn't quite lived up to it, to tell you the truth. And Gardner just seems to find a role each and every year, sooner or later. I mean, his overall numbers aren't going to jump off the board at you this year, but he's gotten hot at the right time. He still can play great defense. That hasn't changed. It seems like he hasn't lost a step. And, yeah, like I said, he's been invaluable to this team. So,
yeah,
you know, keep on keeping on, as some people would say. Or whatever. Yeah, no, it's been great. I mean, I think the highlights of the week to look at and why they're out there is the bullpen has picked it back up. You know, they've been really good, and I mentioned they've been on fumes. You know, starters not pitching deep into games. So many close games the Yankees have been in this year. You can understand, come around September, October, these guys are going to get a big gas, but they all look rejuvenated now. Getting an arm like Severino back to come out of the bullpen and be effective is huge. Could get Herman back any day now. He actually have gotten Herman back. My bad. He was activated a couple of days ago. You got Tyone back starting tonight. So that's, I mean, it looks like everything's heading in the right direction for them. And I know they said Jonathan Weisiger was throwing over the weekend. So maybe we get him back, you know, in a couple of days. We'll see. But yeah, the Yanks are coming together. And you mentioned about Judge and Stanton. This is kind of what we've always dreamed about, right? Since they traded for Stanton.
That's what we wanted.
Right? And like going into the 2018 season, this was supposed to be what it was. Stanton, Judge, bashing the ball over the yard, you know, and staying on the field and being healthy. And it looks like now we're getting it. And earlier in the season, there was questions about, what are you doing with Judge? Why is he sitting like 2 days in a row and stuff like that? And it was to maintain him, to keep him healthy. And, you know, knock on wood, it stays true. But he's only really missed time with COVID.
Right.
And that was it. He's been healthy this year. And he's showing, he's reminding everyone what kind of ball player he can be. And so is Stanton. Maybe the key this whole time was to get him some DH most of the time. But you got to get him in a mix in the field at times to balance it out. And then I know they brought in the new training staff before last season. It looks like it has taken effect this season because – you know, it's not going to happen overnight. But I know both of them got into yoga this offseason, so it's working on their flexibility and things like that. And because you can be as jacked as you want to be, but to play baseball, you got to be flexible. And it looks like, you know, it's paid off.
Yeah.
So,
side note, FYI, yoga is great. Everybody should do it. Even if it's just a few, you know, stretches, but it's really... Especially, you know, I did just celebrate a birthday, so I am a little bit older now. The older you get, the more beneficial it is.
Stretching is key, and I can tell you that as well. I know there's like yoga poses I would do to stretch my back out, but not exactly like full yoga classes. These people doing hot yoga or whatever it is that they go into these rooms.
I'm not doing that. I have a friend who's like a yogi. He does like the headstands and everything. No, there are some very basic, simple moves that, like, you probably already do them from, if you're an athlete, you just don't know that it's a yoga move, that can really help out, really benefit you in the long run. So,
did you just say a yogi?
Yes, not Bera.
I know. I mean, of course, that's where my mind went was immediately. Is that what a yoga master is called? A yogi?
I believe so, yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is absolutely, I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, so I guess let's get into it. We got two big series left. Yanks got six games left in the season, kicking off tonight in Toronto up in Rogers Center. Lisa, you want to go through it? Let's talk about tonight's game. I know we got a lineup to discuss.
Yes, yes. So in just about an hour from now, first pitch will be taking place. And we are going to see Jameson Taillon battle with, I was practicing it, Hyunjin Ryu. I hope I said that right.
Hyunjin Ryu.
Hyunjin Ryu. Hyunjin Ryu is a left-hand pitcher. He has a 13-9 record, a 4.34 ERA, and 133 strikeouts. And Jameson Taillon is a right-hand pitcher for the Yankees, 8-6 record, 4.41 ERA, and 136 strikeouts. And the Yankees lineup for tonight looks like what we're pretty much used to for the majority of the year since we got Rizzo and Gallo. So we have DJ LeMahieu playing third base, batting first. Anthony Rizzo playing first base, batting second. Aaron Judge in right field, batting third. My boyfriend, Giancarlo Stanton, as DH. I'm just going to manifest that because Tiffany Haddish is trying to do it, so I got to beat her. Joey Gallo in left field, batting fifth. Gleyber Torres is at second base, where we're very happy to have him these days, batting sixth. Gary Sanchez is batting seventh, catching. Brett Gardner is in the eight hole and playing center field. And Gio Urshela is batting ninth at shortstop. That's tonight's lineup. And then tomorrow night, we play Jose Berrios, who is a right-hand pitcher, 12-9 record. He has a 3.48 ERA and 197 strikeouts. He will be playing against our ace, Garrett Cole. Right-hand pitcher, 16-8 record, 3.08 ERA and 237 strikeouts, which is ridiculous. However, on September 30th, we're playing against Robbie Ray, who has slightly more strikeouts, but you know, we're going to take that 237. Robbie Ray is a left-hand pitcher, 13-6 record, 2.68 ERA and 244 strikeouts, and he will be playing against Corey Kluber. He is a right-hand pitcher with a 5-3 record, 3.82 ERA, and 80 strikeouts. And we do have, on October 1st, we already know who our starting pitcher is, but we don't know who the Rays is. So it's the ever-formidable, to be determined, versus our favorite, Nasty Nestor Cortez Jr., who's a left-hand pitcher, 2-2 record, which is bonkers when you think about it. 2.85 ERA and 98 strikeouts.
So to notice something tonight's lineup, though, the Yanks are facing the lefty. Voit not in the lineup.
Voit hasn't been in the lineup for a while.
No, he really hasn't. Not since he started last Thursday night's game. Got to start at first, misplayed two balls, and really hasn't been hitting.
Yeah.
Starting to wonder about that. I mean, I'm not knocking it. That's not a knock, because normally I've always said I want to see the jumbo package lineup out there, but he ain't hitting, and it ain't really helping out. I mean, and Brett's kind of been proven that, you know, maybe he needs to be in there, even though he's left-handed. So we'll see if they get that lineup out there on Thursday versus Ray, which could possibly happen. But Yanks need these – I mean, listen, as great as these last six games have been and as awesome as the sweep against Boston was, Yanks still got a lot of a heavy lift in the deal. You're only a game ahead of the Red Sox for the first wild card spot, and you're not guaranteed to drop to the second spot. So you got to get these things because you got Boston's facing Baltimore.
Boston's got an easy next few games, and we've got some of the hardest.
Exactly. So, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see what happens this weekend with the Rays because the Rays looks like they'll have everything locked up. You would assume naturally they'll be – I'm not saying they're going to roll over for the Yanks and just let them walk in. They're going to go ahead and play in top, but you got to assume they're going to probably rest some guys who maybe need a day off here and there. That's kind of how you just make sure everyone's healthy going into the playoffs so they can rest up for the ALDS. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, especially depending on what happens between these next three nights with the Yanks and Blue Jays, because the Blue Jays also got, you know, a pretty easy series next weekend. So Yanks just got to continue getting it done, man. Don't let up. Keep it rolling here. Yeah. It's a little out of order, but let's get to our awards of the week, because I know we usually do that when we close with the preview. That's on this guy. I was a little excited to talk about the upcoming series. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure we probably got the same guy, because we don't discuss this. We want to keep us on edge, but go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa.
No shocker here. Anytime I can make him the hitter of the week, I will. He absolutely deserves it. He was a monster this week. Giancarlo Stanton, come on. Is there anybody else? So for the last week, what I had was he had a 474 average, OPS of 1.682, 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, 4 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, on-base percentage of 524, and a slugging percentage of 1.158. He was also named the American League Player of the Week. This is in 6 games, so the stats are slightly different, but he had a 409 average, 4 home runs, and 13 RBIs in 6 games. Nice. Ridiculous.
I mean, if I didn't go with him, I would have to have my head examined and maybe have to, like, just never do the show again. So, yeah. Top of the heap for me is Giancarlo Stanton as well. This should be interesting, though. King of the Hill, that's our Pitcher of the Week awards. I'll get this one started off. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Aroldis Chapman.
Nice.
Aroldis Chapman had 3 saves this week. And just to lay it out there for the month of September, he has 11 and a third innings pitched, 21 strikeouts, and has saved 6 of his last 6 saves. And he saved 3 this week alone. So he looks like he's returning back to form and just in time, because this is exactly. I agree. I don't mean he's out of the woods, like that's it, but mm-hmm. We needed him back into form, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the Yanks have gotten rolling again with this, and the rest of the bullpen, because usually the closer will set the tone for the rest of the bullpen. So that's going to be my guy. Honorable mention. Oh, go ahead. I'll mention honorable mention because I don't want to steal your thunder if that's who it is. Go ahead. Who's your King of the Hill?
So I had an honorable mention as well, but I'll say my King of the Hill first. So I went with Jordan Montgomery. And I did that partly because – the Yankees clearly listened to our podcast, and they heard me yell at them last week because they finally produced runs for him in the last 2 games that he pitched. Like, thank you. Thank you, guys. That's all you had to do, because Jordan was really putting his heart and soul out there, and y'all were not helping him. So, Jordan Montgomery, this one's for you. You're my King of the Hill this week. He had an ERA of 1.69, 10.2 innings pitched, 11 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, a whip of 1.13, and opposing batting average of 275. Go ahead, Jordan Montgomery. You are my King of the Hill. Who is your honorable mention?
I was this close to going Jordan Montgomery, but that's not the honorable mention, though. Honorable mention, Luis Severino.
Mine too.
Yeah, come on. You had a feel for the guy. It's been awesome seeing him back. Looks like he's going to be using high leverage situations, and he's been fantastic. And we got the Sevy scream back when he comes off the mound and everything, which I absolutely love. Honorable mention to Luis Severino. He was another one that was in contention, you know, for my King of the Hill this week. But the top two, yes, were Solomon Rollins Chapman, Jordan Montgomery. Seems like he's in the mix every week, but the guy just can't get any run support. Finally did this week, and we saw the kind of things that could happen. So.
All right.
So I would say that pretty much does it for us this week. So thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll see what happens. We'll get into our next show. I don't think it's going to be Sunday, but we'll work it out. At least we'll work it out, because the game starts at 3:00 next week. So we'll see how that goes. But we'll definitely post it on our Facebook page. So if you are following us on Facebook stream, thanks for that. Come join our Facebook group at the Empire 161 Show group. Highlights, final scores, all of that every day. Interesting stats, so come check us out. Thanks for joining us. Whether it's on YouTube, go to Pop Culture Pros, hit subscribe, and you can follow us. And follow us along with all the other cool shows that we have. Right after us tonight is the Just Too Sweet Show with Eric and Tim. So they'll be doing a great job if you're into wrestling. Tomorrow night on Wednesdays, we got Granny's PhD. If you're into comic books and stuff like that, we'll be talking about the original Venom tomorrow night, along with Titans and all the CW shows and all of that. So come check us out. If you're into the Mets, check out the Put in the Book show. They do Farachi and the boys do a great job with that. Farachi and other boys, including Tim, cover the New York Giants. and the We Stomped You Out show. So they'll be coming back this week. I don't know which night that is, but you can come check that out. See who my favorite. Oh, you got A to Z with Eric from the Just Too Sweet show. Covers everything from A to Z with producer Dave over there. So, and then also we got an NFL show with Falachi and Tim and Dave and Bert and everyone else. So if you're into fantasy football or just football in general, check out the purposely untitled NFL show. Pros. I do love that. I think that's awesome. So, all right. So here's the, here it is. It's we'll go ahead and come back. Let's go, Yanks. So over these last six games of the regular season, let's clinch that wild card spot. Let's get the first wild card spot. So yes, both of us can be at the stadium and rock the stadium now because we got our tickets ready to go. So let's do this. Lisa, any parting words?
No, just like you said, go Yanks. I'm really excited about these last two series. So we will talk to y'all when the series are over and hopefully with a preview of the wild card game.
Yes, exactly. That's what we want to do, a wild card game preview show. So everyone stay safe out there. Have a good week. And let's go Yankees.
Woo! Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.